If you get pressure on Brock Purdy,
that's my point.
That's the whole key.
Now, see, you got to think about this. It's going to be a rotation. And one hell of a rotation, you're going to have Jordan Davis, our first round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Three big 6'5", 6'8", 330. We got Javon Hargrave.
I heard you over there,
12 sacks on the season. We got Fletcher Cox, the legend, 10-plus sacks on the season. We also got another guy up and coming, Milton Williams, who had like 6 sacks on the season. And he was just, you know, he's up and coming. He needs more snaps. And I haven't even gotten to our free agent acquisitions, Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. That is a lot of beef and a lot.
That's right. A lot of pressure.
A lot of talent in that to attack that middle.
That's exactly right.
I don't think San Francisco's offensive line is going to be able to hold up between all that.
Yeah, the key with that is, which I will bring you a question on this one in a minute. The whole thing is, who can stay healthy the most? Between those two matchups, who can stay healthy is the key. And again, if they can get pressure on Brock Purdy, who knows what could happen now?
Now see, let me stop you right there. This is the reason why Avante Maddox coming back is so big. Because the two places the Philadelphia Eagles can get got in their secondary is at the safeties and the linebackers, checking the receivers out of the backfield. Avante Maddox coming back covers the exposure of Kazeer White in coverage. And it also brings CJ Gardner-Johnson out of the slot back to the safety position. So it solidifies that. So having Avante Maddox back, really, now, Jonathan Gannon, who's done a phenomenal job with this season, as far as, you know, having this defense come along, almost broke the record. You know, only the 85 Bears had more sacks than us this season, and led the league in interception. You gotta give that man his roses. But having him back, now he has his full playbook at his disposal. And the only thing we has to do is contain the running game, which is really Debo, that's McCaffrey, that's Elijah Mitchell, that's even George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk. I said this a long time ago, San Francisco got like 4 or 5 guys that I don't want to tackle. So we can contain those edges and force this game into Brock Purdy's hands. Good night.
Yep.
That's when the clock strikes midnight for Brock Purdy. Once he gets into that position where the running game is no longer going to be a factor and we have to put the game on his shoulders, that's when the clock strikes midnight.
All right. So let me ask you, over or under 3 sacks for the Eagles?
Over. Over all day.
WB, what do you think?
They're getting 5.5.
That's a tough one right there.
Over, under, or push. Either or.
I'm going to say 3.
So that's under. You said 3.5, right?
No, I thought you said 3.
Yes.
Over or under 3.
Over or under 3. I mean, you could say 3. I mean, you could push.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, so it's going to push. Okay. That's fair. Fair answer.
Roma,
what do you think?
Under.
That's pretty obvious.
Woke up with hater. You had hater raid this morning, didn't you?
Yeah, he did. No. That's him as usual. Yeah. He's being normal.
Hey, Mark. Oh, Mark B.
No, I'm here.
Okay. Over or under 3 sacks for the Eagles tomorrow? Or you could say 3. So, I mean, I'm just throwing a number out. That's all.
I'll go over.
Okay.
Oh, that's going to be interesting. You know what I think is key and nobody's brought up yet?
What's that?
Time of possession.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it then.
Yeah, because I said we run the greatest RPO of all time.
I'm sorry.
Why? You're because right. We do all that and we kill the clock. I'm sorry. Time possession, kill the clock. That's what we do.
And I think that the Eagles are going to control that. And I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to break that 49er defense down because those boys will not be able to get off the field.
Yes, like again, show me the game, show me the stat where this season, where the 49ers have stopped an RPO.
Oh.
I need to see it. I need to see the evidence.
Romar, you might be quiet over there.
I need to see the evidence.
But you know what's funny? Like last week was like the best week ever, man. He was all in it. Now I'm like, wait a minute. Now you're about to fall asleep. You're falling asleep this week.
I just don't want to hear all this pigeon talk about these birds.
Because you hating over there.
I'm supposed to. They're a team in my division. Keep it like a true football fan.
See, you can't handle the truth. That's your problem.
What? I know the truth. They're a better team. They had a good season.
Just because you go home each and every year, you know, head down.
Listen, every now and then
you got a lot of bandwagons every week.
What?
Who? You do.
No.
Yeah, he got a team, so you hop on a different bandwagon every week.
Yeah, it's called free agency.
That's right.
My dad is a free agent fan.
Look,
just to be fair, when the Eagles lose, I'm not calling my dad for a shoulder to cry on, okay? I know it's not there.
It ain't.
Well, you know, don't call me neither. You know that. I'm gonna make you more depressed.
Yeah. I know what it is.
I need a depression. You ought to be depressed every year.
I'm never depressed.
Okay.
So you
like losing.
Now he got two more of these type of seasons before he's really gonna be depressed. Because you gotta think about this. We are on a mission. Philadelphia Eagles we are on a mission to catch everybody else as far as Super Bowl victories. Mm-hmm. And the first team we're gonna catch is Washington.
Yeah. How many wins you guys have this year? What, seven?
Yeah, we had what, seven? What, eight.
Eight and one. At least that's an improvement. All right. Wait a minute.
Yeah, we're going to get to three before we get to 4 and 5.
Ooh.
That's just facts. That's just how the numbers go. And the way things is looking with the Washington franchise, I'll take the over on that bet.
Yeah, they did improve because you got rid of Dan Snyder.
No, they're getting ripped.
Okay.
Well, they're on the verge.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
They've been on the verge all year.
It is going to happen. It's going to happen. But enough about them. So everybody in agreement with the Eagles, fly, Eagles, fly. I love you guys. No disrespect.
Except for one.
Yeah. You got one defector.
Oh, one defector? Yeah, we'll work on him later.
No, leave him alone.
So
he can come and explain himself.
We'll find out around 6:30 tomorrow.
I already explained what happened. So if y'all want to go down that road on next week, which we will.
Hey, Romar, think about this.
Have at it.
If you so happen to, no, I ain't gonna even say that. Okay, but anyway, yep. No.
Okay, so guys,
give you any fuel.
What did you say? If what you want to say? Just don't know, Carolina, if San Francisco pulls it off, all I'm
going
to do is just say, I told you so.
Uh-huh.
And that's fine.
Uh-huh.
And that's fine.
Are you supposed to?
And that's fine. I mean, look, this is one of those, like I said, there'll be times that if I'm wrong, I'm going to get the heat. And like what WB did to me last Sunday.
I sure did.
And guess what? If that happens on tomorrow, You pull it off. Guess what?
Roma, I'm gonna need
I don't care.
Hey,
listen, I will be home.
You ain't gonna harass me. And I know he gonna give it to you.
One of us is gonna give it to you. I know.
And it's gonna. I can't say who. I can't promise who's gonna be.
That's right.
Oh yeah, but you're going to get tagged in it.
Smith
has been tagged in a post. That will happen. Yes.
I send one on my own.
Uh-huh. Yeah, your phone's going right. He'll say, hello, Romar.
Romar answers. I got friends that are their football teams. When I call them and they don't answer, Romar's not one of those guys.
Oh, he'll answer.
Yes, he'll answer.
And still talk.
And we'll still.
Hey,
he ain't gonna have nothing to say after he loses.
Yeah, he was. He found something.
Now,
my
thing was at 10 o'clock that Sunday night, and I'm sitting there the whole time he was talking, I'm sitting there laughing the whole way. I'm like, oh, man.
Is this Kevin? Yeah. Kevin Harris. Hey, what's up? Hey.
I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'll even explain the reason why I picked
I know, I was.
And that's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm taking the over on the beat down on the San Francisco 49ers. Shout out to my auntie, Ross McCoy, my roommate, Ms. Trina Gray, Carlos, my brother from another mother, Mr. Andre Brown. Thank y'all. Yeah. Those are my close Niner friends. I got so much love and respect for
you guys. Ron's, she's 49ers.
Yeah, she is a 49ers fan.
Hey, Rod, I'm gonna call you up, okay?
Yeah, y'all taking this L tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to harass you, Rod.
We on a mission. Oh, you absolutely. In the way. Fly, Eagles, fly. It's a Philly thing, y'all. Yeah. Okay, so the second game on tap, we got the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Guys, y'all gotta help me out with this one. Yo, Roman.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wake you up over here. Let's talk about the Pat Mahomes versus Joe Burrow.
Well, they say, Joe 3-0 against Pat, but they talk too much smack up in Cincinnati. I think it's gonna be a different story this year.
I've been hearing about him talking smack, but I haven't heard what they said.
Calling Arrowhead is Barrelhead.
that was a big one for me.
They you gotta beat us day on January the 29th, official. They gotta beat us day. then they did a paternity test to say that Joe Burrow's is.
Oh yeah, the man's horrific.
Mahomes' daddy.
And Pat Mahomes on his lap and everything, man. That was terrible.
Then they in Buffalo talking about we on our way to Barrelhead. It's a little too much. We just seen this, man.
The Niners and the Bengals have been talking too much smack this week. I'm sorry. They've been flapping their gums just a little bit too hard.
Okay. You know what? Sometimes people say, well, you run your mouth, it jinx you now. What if they back up what they said, man? Well, then what you gonna say?
They not!
I'm taking the Bengals.
I am
taking the Bengals. I don't care if they are talking smack. It's football.
I got this one. I got a different Patrick Mahomes. I got the magician. Pulling it off and going back to
the Bengals. It's not gonna even be on Pat Mahomes.
All right.
Pat Mahomes is going to have a pedestrian-type game. He's going to probably make 248 yards at the most. What's going to end up happening is this is guy number 10, Isaiah Pacheco. He's going to have a monster game. I think the Cincinnati Bengals is going to be exploited with worn down and exploited with the run game because Isaiah Pacheco can carry that rock. He can also carry it out the backfield. And I think that's going to set Pat Mahomes up to make his little throws. He's not going to have to make a whole lot of throws. I think it's going to be a running back committed type game. Okay. And they want to preserve Pat. They don't want Pat Mahomes in too much danger, too much harm's way. You still got one game to go. Mm-hmm. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs is going to rely on their run game. And that front four, who's also second, who's also up there in sacks, got one guy by the name of Frank Clark. Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think he needs to show up against an offensive line that's down three starters. I think that front four needs to exert their dominance and establish that this game is not Burrowhead, it's Arrowhead. I think they need to take the lead on this one, set the tone and let them know, all that talk is funny, but it's time to show up now.
All right.
I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals should come out this game victorious.
This game is so hard to pick. Cause this is almost like with KC, I've been picking KC nearly every week this season.
Right, and they've been letting us down too. No.
They've
been making me nervous. They've been making me nervous. They haven't let us down. They've been making me hella nervous.
Well, which is why I got notes on that one too. And I'm going with the Bengals for several reasons. Okay. Now, one of them, of course, we all know Burrow is 3-0 against Mahomes the last 14 months. So in three times with this thing, which is a very, like I say, it's very, you know, Burrow has arrived. And it's funny, remember how we talked about this, what, 2-3 weeks ago, how we had, okay, which you, your favorite players by position. Remember? Remember we talked about this, and I said Burrow, right, at the time.
You sure did.
And then everybody was looking at me like, oh, okay, like one of those aha moments. Now, fast forward to today, and like Burrow is now, you know, one of the hottest topics going in, you know, is why I think he's got more coverage than Jalen Hurts at this point, to be honest with you.
And that's nothing that's just downright disrespectful, but go, but continue.
But no, but here's the thing. But I'm noticing on, well, we've been watching ESPN off and on all week, and we've seen how, who's got lack of coverage and whatnot. And also, Mahomes is not 100%. Now, even though, yeah, you're going to say the right things, like, yeah, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, though, you let no more than what you really do. Now, if they take out his, well, not say take out, but like I said, watch for him if he limps or for any reason, and that's the biggest key. So, I mean, he's the driving force behind everything, right? So, and I also heard that Kelsey's not 100% either. Yes, they're both still playing. Now, which leads me to this. If the defense, if the Bengals defense limit Kelsey to, I would say, 50 yards or less, Mahomes gonna have to find other people to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that too. Now, Mahomes got plenty of weapons to choose from. But again, it all depends on how that ankle reacts.
Yeah, absolutely. Has he been practicing this week?
Yeah, he's a practice full participant. But like I said before, Isaiah Pacheco and the rest of the running backs, they gotta take over this one.
Don't be surprised if Juju have a big game.
He can get that. Kelsey's gonna get his.
Yeah.
Isaiah Pacheco is the key.
That's true.
If they can establish that run, then Pat Mahomes can just play quarterback and don't have to do too much.
Oh, what kind of injury Kelsey had?
Travis Kelsey is a full go now. My son, Jason Kelsey, he always got injuries, but that doesn't matter. He's right. Balling out.
But now, the key is do not allow Kelsey any touchdowns, because if you throw a touchdown, that's when you're in trouble.
They do not have the personnel.
Or to stop him?
To stop him.
He's a bad boy.
He's
going to get his, but it's the rest, like you said, the rest of the guys will have to show up.
Yes.
And Pacheco is going to allow that to happen.
And see, I tell you what, and one thing people don't talk about Kelsey, he's a hell of a ball player, right?
Oh, well, that, I mean, he's the best in the league.
No question about it.
Yeah.
And he's also a great route runner.
Yes.
And the dude, he's got to be what, 6'5"? 6'4"?
Yes, 6'5".
Yeah. Something like that, what, 280?
Yeah.
Who, Kelsey? Nah, 240. 240.
Oh, he looks a little heavier than that. Okay.
I mean, but again, I mean.
He's a beast, man.
But you get him out in open space.
Oh,
That's when you get in trouble.
That's the problem. That's when he's a problem.
And now, in order for the Bengals to win also, they must strike first. You have to score first.
Mm-hmm.
Because now there have been times that KC has started slow before. So, and like I said, we was over at your house a couple weeks back and we watching the Raiders game. So, you know, and again, if KC strikes first, they might be in trouble. Maybe. But again, Joe Burrow, you got his confidence, man, he's on 1,000 right now. And that's where everything starts. Everything starts with the driver, right? Okay.
That's right.
So the driver, when it shows throughout the whole team, like, okay, we can overcome anything. Look what he did against Buffalo. Okay. Burrow destroyed my pick last Sunday. Okay. Think about that.
Yeah.
So
I was happy about it.
He was
destroyed. I put more of that on Buffalo than Joe Burrow because, you're upstate New York. I'm sorry. Now, this is where the math stop. This is where the math stop mathing for me when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. You're upstate New York.
Right.
You know it's snow up there. I mean, there's not a year or a time in the winter goes by where they're not talking about snow. Mm-hmm. They're not in snow. They're, you know, have to shovel snow. You probably have to pay someone to shovel snow. So you know it's cold.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and you have an open field. You have an open dome. How on earth do you have knowing that these elements exist? And you have a team coming from somewhere else, coming in your home with everything on the line, and whack you the way they did. This should be your advantage.
And that was mind-boggling for me.
So how on earth does Brandon Bean have the temerity to throw any kind of shade towards the Cincinnati Bengals for how they have navigated through their waters to be a constant contender, when you had the same opportunities and you can't even develop a running game? You had Shady at one point in time. I remember because we gave it to you because of Chip Kelly's dumbass. But that's not even here or there.
Oh,
Roma.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, Kansas City.
I got Patrick.
Okay. Yeah. That, Cincinnati, Kansas City.
I'm taking Cincinnati. And one thing about Cincinnati, let me ask you something. Okay, that defense. Okay, I think they should be rushing. They have to put pressure on Mahomes tomorrow.
Yes,
right. They got to put pressure on him. Okay, so I'm rushing five. Okay, and you know what? You know I love rushing five anyway.
Yeah, rushing five.
Love that. And that linebacker is going to be in the cut. So I think the key to them winning is putting that pressure on Mahomes. And like you said, and then I don't know how the world they're going to do it. You got to limit Kelce. Now, if you notice the patterns that he run, the routes that he run, a lot of those is in the middle of the field.
Yep.
You notice that? And a lot of players can't do that. But if you can limit him somehow.
Yes.
That's the task right there.
And that's the key.
How about McCaffrey?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Late on. Guys, it's 11:05. Hey, CO.
Yeah, we gotta get Mark's take on it.
CEO, I need to ask for 15 more minutes. We got the thumbs up?
You got it.
All right, appreciate it. You know, I gotta take these things over with the man, you know what I'm saying? So, Mark.
Yes, sir.
KC Cincinnati. Well, we start off, you said you had Kansas City, right?
No.
You got Cincinnati?
I'm from Ohio. Gotta go with them. But man, I'm worried. They've been doing too much talking. And I'll be honest with you, Mahomes wasn't injured, I'd go with Kansas City. But what I think people, you brought it up a little bit, but I think what people don't realize, on that offense, if you go position by position, outside the offensive line, Cincinnati is the most talented team in the league. When you got Chase, when you got Higgins, when you got Gibson, when you got the tight end, Hawkinson, or Hurst, when you got Burrow, and you got Tyler Boyd, and you got P-Ryan, hey man, that team is deep. I think Cincinnati gonna get it though.
I do too.
Okay.
Speaking of trash talk, and I know this has nothing, and Mark, this is your wheelhouse. Who talked more trash in boxing than anybody? Muhammad Ali ain't, but he backed it up. So what Cincinnati have to do, since they put their mouth out there, either they know something or they got to either come in and back them words up. So I'm really not going to hold that against them too much.
Well, whoever comes out this game got an ass whooping from Philadelphia coming to y'all, because this ring is ours.
Oh, and two more things I forgot to point out. Now, like Mark said, with the talent on the offensive side of the Bengals, if Ja'Marr Chase is a key, if Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins gets off,
oh, it's over.
You know what? I actually like T. Higgins more than I like Ja'Marr Chase.
Do you?
Really? I mean,
now Higgins is a bad dude.
Yeah, that's true.
But Chase, man, I love Chase, man. Yeah. That cat.
But if you watch, even when they was in the Super Bowl last year, T. Higgins is more consistent. Ja'Marr Chase don't go across the middle too much. T. Higgins don't have a problem doing that.
Oh, he's bigger.
And he's more physical.
Mm-hmm.
And just my opinion, Ja'Marr has a tendency to drop one every now and then. I don't see T. Higgins doing that. I will give Jamar credit on this. Joe Burrow would have one more second to get that ball off the right way last year in that Super Bowl. Jalen Ramsey was burned. We'd be talking about Philly Cincinnati defending their Super Bowl title today. If that one play, if he had one more second.
Yeah, but he had a guy like Aaron Donald right in his grill. That's what Aaron Donald does.
And see, that's why I think because Burrow knows the KC defense is suspect too. Keep in mind, they gave up 20 points to, they almost lost to Jacksonville. You know?
Yes.
Out of all three of these teams. Three of these teams.
Right.
Matter of fact, I had picked Jacksonville that week too.
San Francisco, Kansas City, Cincinnati. We got the personnel to burn all of them. That's why I ain't worried.
But people tend to forget. Only problem Jacksonville had last week, they got behind again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you now, they don't get behind, they win that game. And you, it sounds funny, but if somehow they'd have been playing Cincinnati this week. I don't know if Jacksonville just hit the stride at the right time with the right things. I think Cincinnati would have had more of a problem with Jacksonville than what they will have with Kansas City tomorrow.
I agree with that. So guys, those are our NFL picks. But before we get out of here, I want to switch gears, get right back to the NBA. This action that we got going on right now. And I want to give you guys thoughts about last week. Last week, we did the show on Friday. And we was watching, and as the game was going on, we was the Memphis Grizzlies against the Los Angeles Lakers. And you saw one Shannon Sharp, act out of character to say the least. He had issued one of the best, most heartfelt apologies the next Monday on Undisputed. He took full responsibility for all his actions. He apologized to everybody that was associated to or had his name attached or who had to ask or answer questions in regard to his name, in regard to this incident. He apologized to all the families and organizations involved and pretty much, took full blame and responsibility for his actions. So I want to get you guys' thoughts on what happened and everything else in the NBA going forward. And I'm going to start with Mark.
Uncle Shay Shay got a little caught up. Shannon, which I watch him every morning. I love that dude. He got caught up. I think he forgot. I think he was caught up in a moment where he forgot, hey, you're a media personality. He was there talking. He was there as a fan.
As a fan.
And he got caught up into that moment because he was trash talking Dylan Brooks, And I think if that had been anybody else, Dylan Brooks probably wouldn't even pay it no mind. But now we got a sports media person at the game talking trash to me. And that's what got it going. It got to the point where they had to escort him out the game.
Mm.
And, I love him, but Shannon's got to be cool because see, that Twitter and stuff and all them other things brings a whole lot of light to you really don't need. And he's starting to create a little bit of tension with other people. Ed Reed got upset with him a couple of days ago because he said something regarding that, him leaving. Well, I'll tell you what it was. He basically told Ed Reed, hey man, look, I understand there might have been issues down at Bethune-Cookman with finances and things like that, but you didn't have to put it out there like that. You should have just went to the administration and spoke to him personally. Ed Reed said, hey, look, this is like a third world country down here. These young men are going through hell at the HBCU. You're a walking example of one that went through the HBCU. And for you to put me out there like that, I got a problem with you. And they went back and forth and Shannon said, hey, best of luck, I'm gone. Shannon, in my opinion, is the face. I know they talk about Stephen A, but I think he's the face for a lot of things that we want to say because he ain't afraid to say it. But he has to know that there's a line you just cannot cross. And if you go, he's a big time LeBron Laker fan, but when you go to that game, you ain't Shannon Sharp the Laker fan. You're Shannon Sharp from Undisputed. And you're representing Fox or whatever network you want. And just like they tell us, when I go to work for my company, hey, y'all plan on going to Applebee's or wherever it is for happy hour, don't wear your company shirt in there. Because it happened before and those people no longer have a job. So you gotta know what line to cross and not cross and know that regardless of how much of a fan you may be of whoever it may be, when you go to that game, it sounds crazy, but you gotta be on your best behavior. You cannot allow yourself to get caught up into that fan mode because that fan part of you come out and the next thing you know, you all over the news that next day.
You out of a job.
So he has to be careful. That's all I can say. Hey, utmost respect for what he had to say. I mean, he couldn't have done it no better than what he did. But he's got to learn to start separating himself as a fan and realize that he is the media.
Yeah, right. And you just can't be caught up in those situations. You're wrong, Mom. Do you agree with the panel?
Yeah, I agree with him. You know, he could have handled it a whole different way than what he did. I think he had a little too much of that cognac he be drinking.
Yeah, he had some of them Hennessy, the Black and Miles and Hennessy. That's what does it to you. That's why I don't do the Black and Miles no more. Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like Mark said, nowadays, man, because you got to really be mindful of how you act and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Because again, anybody else would have acted the same way. They would have lost their job like come Monday. Any regular person off the street, whatever. And then, like I said, sometimes anything, you know, your work ethic and how you've been doing before sometimes may be the only thing that saved you, you know, at that point in time. You know, like I said, I didn't realize the whole ramifications of it, you know, but it's one of those things that you don't see that on social media very often. I said, okay, let's take a step back. And I'm glad he owned it immediately. Cause like I said, if you wait an extra week or two, that could have hurt himself even worse in the end. If you think about it.
I couldn't agree more. You know, the thing about it is, Mark, Kevin, Ro, you guys are all correct on this. See, the thing about it is, I am, number one, sick of people doing stupid stuff and then having to apologize. Seem like to me you're supposed to be a grown up when you walk into the building, okay? But then you have to look at it also. He's not an ordinary fan. Another thing about some of these fans, put Shannon Sharp aside for a while. I think a lot of these fans that go to the game, and just because they didn't board a ticket, now Shannon didn't have to pay for a ticket, I'm sure of that. But there's fans that buy a ticket and they think that they have the rights to do and say anything they want to these players. Now, if you go there, and it's even worse in high school and college, it's worse in high school and college because you have a whole lot of stuff going on. I mean, there's a lot of racism, a lot of racist things that are said also against these fans. Now, this has nothing to do with Shannon, but I'm just talking about fans themselves getting out of line and think they're entitled to do what they do just because they bought a ticket. You know? You know, all the time now, there's an old saying that says the customer's always right. That's a lie. Customer's never always right. And especially you're going to disrespect people. No, you are dead wrong. Forget about this stuff. Now, as far as Shannon's concerned, he's supposed to know better. He's supposed to know better. Now, this is not his first rodeo. Shannon has been, of course, a great player, but also he's been in the media for how long now? It wasn't like last week or week before last or even last year. He's been doing what he does for a while. He can't take that media or his work jacket off. I mean, the facade you were talking about. When anywhere he steps out anywhere, okay, he is representing what he does professionally because he is a public figure.
Yes.
Okay. So he can't be just a private fan, I mean, individual right now. He is a public figure. All right. And these companies, they always look, is this employee hurting or helping out my company here? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a bad look. And maybe because of his possible popularity, he still has a job right now.
But you want to know what he did? William, I don't mean to cut you real quick. You know what he basically did?
Go on.
he took all the heat off of Skip Bayless for the comments he made.
You're exactly right.
By doing that. See, everybody switched off for that.
That's right.
So, see, and said, now you see what Shannon did. So he basically, I hate to say it, at that point, he took the heat off. I mean,
yep,
he took the heat off of him. And I'm pretty sure Skip sat back at home and said, "Oh, I'm glad he did that."
I couldn't agree more.
That's what he, in my opinion.
I think you're exactly right. I think you're exactly right, because that's what people are talking about. And guess what? The proof is in the fact that they weren't talking about Skip Bayless last week, were they? They were talking about Shannon. Mm-hmm. So your point is well taken. I couldn't agree more, Mill.
Oh, yes. This is Studio W Sports Page. I'd like to thank you guys for showing up and, you know, coming and giving me all my, y'all insight on everything. We about to close this thing on out. And anything you guys want to say, we're going to close before we get on out here. The floor is yours. Mr. Mark.
It's always an honor being on with you fellas. You know, I look forward to tomorrow. I've been looking forward to it all week. Just real quick, it's a shame that another black Marcus came on our society with what has happened the last few days.
Yeah.
I can say, you know, for the protests and things of this nature, I hope they're peaceful. The one thing we can't do now, and I'm just going to be honest, we can't blame it on nobody but our own. And in this situation here, man, it puts us back 100 years, bro. And all I can do is look forward to tomorrow, because I ain't gonna lie to you, I don't want to see no more of these young black men, young men period, not just black men, but young men period, losing their lives to senseless situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somewhere it has to stop.
Yes, I echo that. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Tyree Nichols, and we just want justice and peace. And just like you, Mark, I don't want to see this crap no more. I don't want to see it no more. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad enough. We fight so hard for these rights to have our own. But the fact we keep shooting ourselves in the foot makes me sick to our stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Sick to my stomach at all. So I appreciate you, Mark. I love you, brother, as always. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Let me say something real quick before you guys go. I don't want to see this either. Now, the thing about it is, murder is murder, okay? And what they did, just like Shannon Sharp took the heat off of Skip Bayless, these black officers took the heat off of those other officers that's be doing this stuff daily, all right? You notice that? And so you got people back and grinning, yeah, well, look at them, okay? They blaming us, you know? And this type of thing. But let me tell you something. Throughout the country, there is a culture that permeates this society. And I'm talking about, it is absolutely wicked within the police forces around the country. Okay? It's the culture of policing these days which needs to change. Okay? And we keep saying this. But hopefully one day something will wake somebody up and says, you know what? This whole system has to change. These officers need to go through psychological training before they get a job. They shouldn't be allowed to go from one police department to another because they got fired off of their last one. All right, there needs to be psychological background checks on all of them. Now, there's some areas that's doing it right now, and the policing has changed because they are evaluating these cats before they even give them the doggone job. And forget about this cronyism. My uncle is just because my granddad was a cop, you know, I should be able to be a cop too.
That's me with that.
You see what I'm saying? You find out there are generations of officers, the granddaddy, the daddy, and now the son. All right? And it has nothing to do with their ability to be able to police themselves, right? And if you also notice, a lot of these cats are bullies. You got 5, 6, 7, 8 officers beating up, or there was 5 that was charged, but I counted more than 5 out there in the video. All right. And what happens to the paramedic shooter that should have taken this man to the hospital? It was 28 minutes, I believe, before some medical attention showed up.
Oh, and they got relieved of their duty too right now.
Oh, they all got fired. They all got fired.
Yeah, no, but I won't say, there might be, I hope there's some more charges coming up. Is there a liability for with paramedics that failed to do their job? Because as a matter of fact, their superiors thought it was egregious enough that they got fired. So I wonder if there are any charges
the chief of police is getting ready to lose her job. I'm sure the chief of whatever fire department that is, his job is now on the line.
Yeah, though I see the whole regime getting flipped over after something like this. I don't see how anybody in any public position can hold on to it after something like this.
And to make it fair, I know, William, you may push back on this. To make it fair, in my opinion, because we raise pure hell when it happens on the other end. I want to see the NAACP and all these other groups get involved with this situation, even though it's our own.
That's right.
These dudes need to be dealt with, bro.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah. That's exactly. I couldn't agree more.
They need to be dealt with on more than just a state level for these consequences.
And you know what?
That's right. Because we was on our way over here, and Romar made an excellent point. See, the state just got it. The feds are coming.
Oh, they are coming.
Oh, it's gonna be a wrap for you, know it.
And then you have to understand, what was these jerks thinking?
They wasn't.
Get away with it.
They wasn't.
They did what they wanted to do because they wanted to do it.
And do you think that's the first time they did that?
No, it wasn't. They have history. I read some of the comments. These particular cops, some of these cops got a history of pulling folks over and trying to lay false claims on them. And excessive force and things of that nature. This is part of their task force called Scorpions.
Yeah.
And I've witnessed the same thing to, I witnessed something similar to when I was living in Atlanta. You know, Atlanta, they called them Red Dogs. Red Dogs. They also got their version of Scorpions called the 13, whatever, a bunch of big cocky gang members, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just made me sick to my stomach. I ain't had no respect for those guys anyway, but. Yeah. That was just like the worst of the worst. Cause it's just like what Romar said, they knew what they was doing. They think they could just do whatever the heck they want to and get away with it.
And I tell you something, what the federal government all need to do right now, they says, oh, why don't we look at police forces around the country? All right. Let's look at their arrest records. Okay.
And I got one more thing to say, but look at it. If it was 5 white officers, yeah, like Mark said, it'd be an uproar. But now you see, they tried to make an example of the cops in the George Floyd case because of how much
public pressure.
Yeah, see, this got about that. But now you know, and like he said, the mayor is white. The mayor has a real serious job on his hands. What do I do with this? He got it one way or another. If he burn them up with years in jail or something like that. He's gonna be racist. But then if he be leaning into him, you just brushed it under the rug.
But he's
gonna come under fire either way.
He's got to do his job.
Yeah, he
got
to do his job.
And I'm gonna say, and this thing about it is, and the thing that gets me is how quickly they laid down some justice on these black officers. Some of these other officers, including white and whatever it is, it takes them years to put charges on them. Okay, so I want to see going forward, and God, I hope nothing like this ever happens again, but going forward, if it does, you use the same amount of expediency as you did in this case right here.
Now you wonder why people say people should be policing themselves.
Hey, something got to change, all right? And it's going to have to take a lot of public pressure to do so, okay? And that's also a voting right. See, it all gets back to who you put in power, right?
That's right.
Oh, my God. So that's neither. Well, we got to run.
Memphis definitely got a black eye because some of the most tragic things that happened in that.
Yeah, I mean, they've been going through a lot in the last few years.
Martin Luther King, he didn't get killed in Memphis.
Yes, he did.
They've had a history, like you said, Kevin.
Yeah. It's a long history of it. And this right here could be the worst one that ever happened.
Amazing. Okay, amazing. Guys, we got to run.
Yes, we got to run. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been the Studio W Sports page. I'd like to thank y'all for joining us this weekend. Hey, Eagles, fly. Eagles fly versus San Francisco 49ers. NFC Championship game tomorrow. AFC Championship game. Bengals versus Chiefs. Woo! I'll see y'all in church tomorrow.
Here we go.